Tarlehurst End podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlehurst End weekend preview. It's a new year, but the same old rubbish from Reading as they lose 4-1 to Swansea in anticipation of this weekend's trip to Manchester United in the FA Cup third round. My name is Ollie Allen, your host for today's show, and I'm pleased to say that I'm joined, as ever, by the Working in Papers' Tom Crocker. Happy New Year, Tom. How's it going?
Happy New Year. No, not too bad. Still trying to shake off a bit of a Christmas cold, but yeah, apart from that and then the getting through the game on Tuesday, so yeah, not too bad, thank you.
Fantastic. I mean, it's not been the easiest of starts for Jose Gomez. This of course, is our first podcast since he's taken charge. And a few positives from those Millwall and QPR away games, his first two games. But then, of course, that 4-1 defeat, as mentioned, to Swansea on New Year's Day, showing just what a big job he has on his hands to keep Reading in the Championship. But we won't discuss that game too much, partly because it's just quite depressing to do so, but also because Mark and Sim covered it in detail on the main show on Tuesday, so go back and listen to that if you haven't already. It does mean, Tom, we go into this game with Manchester United, who we've never beaten at Old Trafford and who themselves have 4 wins from 4 under their new manager, on a run ourselves of no wins in 10 games and having scored just twice in 6 games. Is it really that worrying, or is it sort of perhaps this is a game where the pressure might be off a little bit?
Yeah, I think they can look at it like that. Obviously, it's going to be an extremely difficult game whether Reading are in good form or not, but just over the last few weeks it's sort of completely turned around from when Mourinho left. It's, if you looked at it a few weeks ago, you might have had a little bit of hope, but now I think it's going to be, if Reading can get anything at all out of that game and just compete in that game, I think everyone would be fairly happy. It looks sort of like a stick-on big home win, really, doesn't it? But I think they can sort of shake off the league form a bit. I think I'm sure a few players will get a bit more of a chance that maybe haven't done yet, so they can maybe show what they can do, and then it's a full week after that until the next league game. So I think Jose Gomez will be pleased with that break. But yeah, it's, like I say, it is a bit of pressure off. That's pretty much what the manager said, that it's they can sort of forget about the league for a bit and just go out there and try and enjoy it, try and get a bit more of how he wants to play into the team. But obviously we saw sort of what we tried to do that last time they went to Old Trafford and got well beaten then, so that it could be a recipe for disaster. But yeah, it'll be another chance for the manager to have a look at the team. I think that's the main bonus from it. Another week, yep. He'll have another week and a bit until the next league game, which is when it really, really counts. And hopefully Reading can just put on a bit of a performance and try and get some sort of confidence out of it.
At a time of recording, the odds are unsurprisingly heavily in United. So I think it's 1-9 for the Red Devils to get the win. Reading at 20-1, which is probably our worst odds so far this season, unsurprisingly. And for the tie to go to a replay, it's 9-1. And those are the most common odds available from Odds Checker, hashtag GambleAware. I mean, in many ways, is this a game that Gomez could sort of perhaps even really do without? I mean, yes, the pressure is off, but how much is he really going to learn by playing Man United and potentially getting heavily beaten by Man United? I think, obviously, it's only his fourth game in charge, and I'm sure he might rather another Championship game. And how does he approach this one? Because, obviously, realistically, we aren't going to be able to play sort of the style of play that he wants to do against Man United. I think, obviously, Stam tried to do it 2 years ago and got beat 4-0. So,
yeah, it sounds like he is going to sort of continue to try and play the way he sort of said he hasn't had too many training sessions, so he doesn't really have the time to put another system over to the players now. They've got to just try and keep working at the one they've got now. But I think it's going to be a lot more back to the wall and focusing on defending and defensive shape and that sort of thing, which in itself could be beneficial in the long term. Obviously, like I say, if they get well beaten again, it's not going to do anyone's confidence any good. And I think you would rather a cup game, I think, could be quite handy just in the fact that they've got then a whole week until the next league game, so they've got a bit of time to fully prepare for that one rather than having another sort of 2 days now and then another league game. If they lose that, then they're in real trouble. So, yeah, I think it is a bit of a welcome break. It's obviously going to be a game that nobody's really going to be expecting Reading to do anything in. So Gomez can maybe try a couple of new things, have a couple of new players and see what they can do. And everyone's got a chance to get into the team now after what happened on Monday night, or Tuesday, sorry. Everyone's got a real chance to state their claim. So from that point of view, I'm sure the players will always be up for a game at Old Trafford, and yeah, it's going to be probably a tough afternoon for most of them. But I'm sure Gomez will be, if he goes and wins at Old Trafford, he'll be remembered for a long, long time by Reading fans. So it's a bit of a chance in that respect. And then I'm sure most of his focus probably already is on the Nottingham Forest game, to be honest. But it's one that you can a bit of a free hit and have a go and see which of these players stand up for him.
I mean, I think that is a key point, actually, because especially, I think, yes, the 4-1 defeat to Swansea was really, really bad, but you do then have to look at how do these players react to that. And we've seen so far this season that they don't react well to any games at all, really. I mean, even after that 0-0 draw against QPR that seemed quite promising, they then went and put a performance in like that against Swansea. But it is now time, I think, especially in the relegation battle that Reading are in now, that you look at the characters in the team more than sort of perhaps the quality of the players. You look at the characters and which of these players really are going to stand up and be counted, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the game on Monday took Gomez by surprise a little bit. I think he was sort of happy with, obviously, at Millwall they lost, but played with 10 men for most of it and played fairly well. And then the QPR game dominated completely the first half, really, or the first half an hour at least, and that's how he wants them to play, and he got a lot out of that. And so it's fair enough. He kept the same team for Monday. Expected the same or Tuesday. I keep saying Monday or Tuesday. But yeah, he kept the same team.
No one knows what day is in the Christmas period. So.
Exactly. Yeah. For the QPR game, he kept the same team all against Swansea, which I think everyone deserved to another go, and they just completely let him down. Really, they again fell behind really early on and out of the game by half time, and then again letting a goal straight after half time, which we've seen so many times this season, probably going back to last season as well. So yeah, I think that told him quite a lot about a few of these players, and I think it gave him a bit of a wake-up call into just how big the job was going to be. I think, like I say, he was fairly content with what he'd seen before that game on against Swansea, and that now he knows that he's got a big, big job to do. And some of these players perhaps don't have that mental capacity at the moment to get over going down. I think when they went 1-0 down so early on, it's just they found it so hard to react to it at home as well. He came out and said they were scared to play at home, which obviously is a bit of a worry, really. But yeah, I think it was a big eye-opener for Gomez. And like you say, it'll be difficult at Man United, but you can still see some sort of reaction. And I'm sure he'll want to see some sort of reaction, even if they don't end up winning the game.
He does speak very well, Gomez, actually. That's one thing I've noticed from his first couple of interviews, that he is very honest. He's quite charismatic as well, which is quite nice for the fans to see. But moving on to Man United then, and we'll look at the view from the town end in just a minute. But looking at their team very briefly, you would expect them to rotate their side, as most big clubs do in these cup matches. You'd probably expect Sergio Romero to come and go for David De Gea. There are youngsters such as 20-year-old Roshan Williams and 17-year-old Mason Greenwood, who are reportedly set to make their debuts on Saturday. You know, so it won't be United's strongest side, but I mean, to be honest, for United, rotation sort of means the likes of Alexis Sanchez and Romelu Lukaku, both of whom only made the bench against Newcastle Wednesday, might likely come back into a starting lineup.
Yeah, still going to be a squad full of quality, and they're being a squad full of confidence as well. Now they're all going to want to get into that Premier League team. I think we saw it in the game a couple of years ago. I think Rooney played, didn't he? And it was a weakened team. So it's whoever plays for Man United, they're still going to be massive, massive favourites, and it's going to be a difficult afternoon for Reading. I'm sure that they'll probably make some changes as well. So it's going to be, I don't think you can really look too much at who United leave out. It will still be a team full of probably 9 or 10 international players, you'd imagine. I think they'll probably have the other guys ready on the bench if they need them anyway. So, yeah, Man United will be big favourites, and they'll probably be on the front foot for a lot of the game. But it's a big test for some of these Reading players, and a chance to show the new manager what they can do, and just hopefully they stand up to it, don't concede early. And if they can just try and stay in the game a little bit, I think that's their only real hope. If they can just try and see out the first sort of 15-20 minutes at least, and then you never know. Newcastle did something similar the other night, kept them quiet for most of it. So yeah, I think that'll probably be the approach: try and keep the ball when they can, not make mistakes at the back like I think they did at Old Trafford a couple of years ago. And remember Joey Vandenberg, that maybe made one, and obviously Al Habsi as well.
Al Habsi made that area. Yeah.
So yeah, obviously you can really do that, something like that, but yeah, it's going to be another chance to try and implement the new system ahead of the league game next week. But yeah, whoever United play, it's going to be a really difficult afternoon, I think.
Well, the worst case scenario would be a repeat of Tuesday when they concede after 2 minutes and a 3-0 down by half time. But it is now time to hear the United view on things as we head into the view from the town end.
The view from the town end. What do your opposition think?
View from the town end time now, and as we prepare for the trip to Old Trafford this week, I'm joined by United fan Colin Dams from the Bosby Babe podcast. How's it going, Colin?
Pretty good. How's it going, Ollie?
I'm not too bad. I'm a little bit worried about what might be coming this weekend, but
yeah. Well, I think given recent changes, this looked like a game where both clubs were in not too good shape, but with Ollie in, I think we've got a bit more confidence going into this now.
No, I was going to start by going back a couple of weeks ago to when Jose Mourinho was sacked after 2.5 years in charge at United. You just lost 3-1 to Liverpool, sat sixth in the league table, 19 points off top spot, 11 points off the top four, with the club just in a bit of a mess all around, I'd probably say. But how much of that for you was down to Mourinho, or do you think the players have to take a bit of the slack for that as well?
I mean, obviously, I think it goes all around the club. I think the players are at fault. I think the board is obviously a little bit at fault with causing some of the drama that unfolded with Jose Mourinho. I think the board didn't really back him in the summer, and I think he took a little bit of that bitterness into the season with him. And I think maybe it just exacerbated some of the problems he already had with Martial and Pogba and all the dressing room drama that was going on.
Yeah. So Solskjaer's come in. Obviously, he's had a fantastic start to life at Old Trafford, beating Cardiff 5-1, Huddersfield 3-1, and Bournemouth 4-1. There's also the game against Newcastle, and it's going to be played a couple of hours after we're recording this. But the player seems to be playing, you know, with a lot more freedom. You know, what has Solskjaer changed since he's come in?
Well, just based on what he said in press conferences and when he first was announced as the caretaker manager, it seems like he was just focusing on getting these players back to playing football that made them happy.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we've seen. I think Pogba is glowing right now. Obviously, one of the first things he said when Mourinho was sacked, when Ollie was asked about Pogba, he said, well, he's happy now. And that was a little bit funny to the rest of us. Maybe he didn't mean it in the way that we all took it, but you can definitely see that Pogba is happy and he's playing the football that we all thought he could play. And then, of course, Marcus Rashford is just looking unstoppable right now. I think Lukaku will probably have a hard time getting back into the team if Rashford plays that well at striker every week.
From your point of view, does he keep the job at the end of the season? You know, if he does do well on, obviously he's supposedly only at the club on a temporary basis from Molde, who he has had success with in Norway. And obviously, his only other previous spell in Britain was that torrid tenure at Cardiff he had a couple of years ago. But, you know, so there was perhaps a little bit of scepticism coming into, you know, his appointment. But, you know, he has done well so far, as touched upon.
Yeah, I think he's got a bit of a better squad than he did at Cardiff.
Yeah, true.
I think the main thing that Ed Woodward has kind of looked at in the post Sir Alex period is whether or not the manager can qualify for the Champions League.
Yeah.
So I think if Ollie can finish top four, and of course now we're 3 points off Arsenal, I think we're a few more off of Chelsea, but Chelsea have also dropped points recently. So it's not unrealistic to expect us to get back into the top four, especially if we're playing this way. But this is only halfway through the season, so anything can still happen. But yeah, I think if he can finish top four, I think he's got a pretty good shot at getting the job.
Do you think that is achievable, that top four finish? I mean, obviously, he started very well, but, you know, some people might say that he's had a fairly sort of easy start in the terms of the opponents that he's faced. Do you think that is still achievable for him to get top four?
Yeah, I think definitely the four opponents, including Newcastle today, I think they're all in the bottom half of the table. So it's not as impressive, but these are also games that Mourinho and Louis van Gaal before him were, these are the games they struggled with. They had decent records against top opponents, and it was these sort of games where the draws and losses really stacked up against us in the title race. I think it's realistic to get into the top four. I think Arsenal are starting to look, or the weaknesses of Arsenal are starting to be exposed again. They're entering mid-season Arsenal form. I don't think Tottenham and Chelsea are done dropping points. I think City and Liverpool are probably going to be the two-horse title race. But, even Manchester City looks like they're letting Liverpool go at this point, which is really unfortunate.
From a United fan's perspective, it's a worst-case scenario for both of those clubs to win the league title. But who from those two teams would you perhaps rather win the league title?
That's the hardest question you're going to ask me today, Ollie. Right now, I'm really pulling for Tottenham to get back into it, but I'd probably have to say Man City. There's at least 13 to 15 years before City can catch up to us in league titles, whereas Liverpool, if they get that one, they're going to start singing 19 times and we're coming for you and all that.
We are in January now, so the transfer window's still open. Do you think United will do much business this month, or if they do, what sort of additions do you think they need to make?
There's been a couple rumors that we're only going to go for loan moves. And of course, we've also been linked with Kalidou Koulibaly. I'd like to see him. I'd really like to see Harry Maguire. I think center defense is our biggest issue right now. Even under Ole playing party football again on the offensive end of things, on the defense, we're still leaking in goals. So I think that's something Ed Woodward has kind of realized that needs to be addressed. I just don't know if he's willing to do January business. I think Alexis Sanchez was kind of a warning. he's not exactly worked out the way that we hoped he would. So, and of course, with Ole instead of Jose Mourinho, it's kind of iffy on whether they're going to back this manager to get the players that he wants.
Looking ahead to the weekend, then, what sort of team are you expecting United to put out? You know, will the likes of Pogba, Rashford, you know, still be playing, or do you think Solskjaer might maybe try out a few youngsters, perhaps?
It sort of depends on when the lineup comes out today, who exactly he'll put out on Saturday. I'm expecting a mix of youth players to come in. The rumor is Mason Greenwood has been told to get ready for his debut. Roshan Williams, one of the younger center backs coming up from the youth reserves, has been in training recently. And I'm not really sure on the status of Marcos Rojo, but I expect if he's healthy to maybe make a return. And Eric Bailly, of course, is suspended, so the back line's going to have to rotate a little bit. But yeah, I would expect Pogba and Rashford to probably be rested since they've played the three of the games so far already.
Do you fear an upset at all? You know, obviously, Derby, another championship side, knocked you out of the League Cup early in the season. But I suppose, you know, is this different now with Solskjaer in charge? And obviously, Reading being a much weaker side than Derby as well.
My father is actually from Rotherham, England. So we've been following Rotherham United in the relegation race. We've watched a little bit of Reading and Rotherham this season. I'm not as fearful as I was with Derby because I think Frank Lampard also made it a little bit more of an emotional occasion for Jose.
Yeah.
I'm not too fearful of it, but at the same time, I think the FA Cup's probably our only shot at a trophy this season. Yeah. So there is that in the back of my mind that something can go wrong.
Yeah, it leads me nicely onto the part of the chat where I ask you for your score prediction, Colin. How do you see the game panning out on Saturday?
I'm going to go 3-1. I think Alexis will make a return.
Yeah.
Maybe bag a goal. We've been playing pretty free-flowing attacking football, so I think we'll probably see the youngsters create a little bit. I think Mason Greenwood may be involved in a goal. I don't know if he'll score one, but also I see our defense as a weakness, and we really switch off on set pieces, especially.
There's only two clean sheets this season, I think, in the Premier League or something like that.
Yeah.
Not very clean sheets at all.
No, it's really been atrocious. I think I was looking at this for an article the other day. We conceded 22 league goals in the whole of the 2008 campaign, and we've already conceded 30 or 31 this season. Wow. So I expect Reading to get one at least.
Okay. I mean, I'm actually quite fearful about how this might end up. We lost 4-1 to Swansea on New Year's Day, so I dread to think what how many you guys was going to score against us. I'm going to say 5-0 to Man United, to be honest. But
oh, wow.
I mean, do you think United might sort of go 3 goals up, for example, and sort of take their foot off the gas, and, you know, with the game won, or do you think, you know, this side, you know, just wants to score as many goals as possible at the moment?
That's one thing that's kind of happened to us, I think, against Huddersfield especially, was we just kind of switched off and let a goal in. And Ollie's talked about that as being a problem that needs to be addressed in the squad. So that is something I'm always worried about.
We'll have to wait and see what happens at the weekend. But my thanks then to you, Colin, for joining me on the Town End, View from the Town End this week. All the best on Saturday and for the rest of the season.
Thanks, Ollie.
It's now time then for me and Tom to discuss Reading's team news ahead of Saturday and pick up preferred lineups for the game.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at The Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/ The Tarlhurst End.
Welcome back to the Tarlhurst End weekend preview ahead of Manchester United versus Reading in the FA Cup this Saturday. Looking at the team news, just a bit of pretext to show just quite how big the squad is at the moment. I thought I'd start briefly by looking at the players who missed out on the squad against Swansea. That's Vito Minone, Chris Gunter, Paul McShane, Leandro Bacuna, David Myler, Sam Baldock, Jordan Abita, Dave Edwards, Josh Sims, Pelle Clement, who literally about 15 minutes ago has been confirmed to be joining Yapstown at PEC Zwolle, Tyler Blackett, Mark Minolti, Saïd Ezatalahi, Tom McIntyre, and Sam Smith. So that's 15 first-team players that all missed out on the squad on Tuesday, which is mind-blowing, really. I mean, it's a massive squad. And if you could help me out a little bit here, Tom, which one of those are injuries and which one of those sort of just missed out on selection altogether? Obviously, Bakuna and Blackett were, of course, suspended after their red cards against Millwall, and they'll also miss the trip to Old Trafford as well.
Yeah, so I think Gunter was carrying a knock, which I think he hopefully should be back at the weekend. Then you go McShane, ongoing injury. I'm not entirely sure what's the situation with him, but yeah, that was the reason for him. Who's the other one? Lobita's obviously still out as well, injured. Going down the list, you got McNulty has just left out. Ezetolai is still injured as well.
Yeah.
So quite a lot of the McIntyre obviously has had that horrible injury that's kept him out. So the rest of them, I think they're all fit, they're all fine to play, just not selected basically. Which when you consider four or five of them were signed in the summer, is a bit of a concern. Balled up McNulty, both not even in the squad.
Myler
not even in the squad. So it's obviously Sims may well end up going back to Lambton, and a lot of those players. I think obviously a few of them are, you say a couple of them suspended, a few of them injured, but that's still a lot of players who have just not even getting in the squad now. And yeah, I think the manager knows it as well. He's said he's going to try and trim the squad down, wants to get rid of some players, and I think that's, like you say, that's starting now with Popper's gone out on loan and Payo Clement's gone out, so they are starting to make some movement on that before they can bring anyone else in, because he can't currently fit anyone else in the squad at the moment.
I mean, I was going to say, Gomez has spoken about cutting down the squad this month. It's pretty cutthroat really at the moment, but it has to be done, I suppose, with the position that Reading are in. Am I right thinking that he made those decisions on who wanted to let go on Wednesday, I think?
Yeah, I think so. I think you said after the, I think what day it was again then. Yeah, after the Swansea game, basically, the day after that, I think he sort of spoke to some of the players and made it clear that they weren't going to be in his plan. So I think he sort of told the people who need to make these deals happen that he doesn't want them in the squad, and it's up to them now to try and sell them on, which I think is going to be a pretty difficult challenge. It may well end up being probably loans or something just to the end of the season, or I don't know, nominal fees or something like that. I can't imagine too many of those people who just mentioned are going to raise too much money, but I think it's about getting them off the wage bill probably. And I think the squad's just reducing the side of the squad will help in itself, because it'll keep more people happy because they're in the squad more often. I think around Hogwood and around the place, it's going to be healthier thing to do, and then you can obviously bring in some better players as well. So yeah, I think everyone's pretty clear now in terms of the players who, I think they know who, whether they're involved in the plans or not, and now it's just down to the agents and the board to try and make some transfers happen in the next couple of weeks.
I've got the quotes from Gomez here. He says, definitely the number of players we have in the squad is very, very high. We must reduce the number of players and after that try to bring in some players who can have an immediate impact and help us be strong. We take it step by step. Now the step is to reduce the number of players we have. We cannot play like a team, feel the team spirit if we have too many players, because sooner or later, the players who are not in the matchday squad don't feel part of the team anymore. Maybe it will feel a bit unfair for some players, but I'm here to win. So it's quite a positive thing for Gomez to say that he's not that scared of sort of offending players, sort of telling them that they're not good enough. But it will be an interesting month for sure. If you were Jose Gomez on Saturday, Tom, what would your starting 11 be?
I would have Vito Minoni in goal, which obviously he wasn't even on the bench against Swansea, so it's questionable maybe whether he's one of the ones who they might look at and think they can get a bit of money for. But I think the way he wants to play, I think Minoni's the best one with his feet, probably just about out of the three of them, and he's going to have to play a lot out the back at the moment, so I think I would probably have Minoni in the team. I wouldn't be surprised if Yakula dropped out after the last couple of games. As good as some of his shot stopping is, all the attacks start with the goalkeeper at the moment. So yeah, I think Minoni, and then if Chris Gunter's fit, I'd have him back in. So Yeardom, Ilori, Liam Moore and Chris Gunter, Moore in for O'Shea, and then Rinomoto obviously in midfield, and so you sort of play alongside them really. I'd bring Liam Kelly in, I think, just looking at who they got in central midfield, it's difficult to pin someone down. I'd have Swift in the team, but I'd push him a bit further forward, I think, and have Kelly sitting a bit deeper, and then Swift in the middle behind the strikers with Barrow and Mate on the wing and Bodvarsson up front, running around trying to hold the ball up when he can. I'm sure it'll be a lonely afternoon for the two of the strikers, but so that's what I'll go for, try and stick with the 4-2-3-1 that he's been playing. And I think I'd be surprised if it's too far off that. Obviously there's probably a couple that you've probably got different, but I think it'll be fairly similar to what it has been recently.
Well, I've gone with the same back five as you. That's Minoni in goal, Gunter at right back, Mallory and Moore in the centre, and Yeardom on the left. I just think this is sort of the type of game where you need slightly more experienced players, I think, especially at the back. I think we'll talk more on the goalkeepers in a minute, but in the defence, I think if fit, Gunter's probably is a better option than Omar Richards at the moment. He's had a couple of shaky games, and obviously John O'Shea is experienced and United is his former club, of course, but he might have a bit of a torrid time, I think, against the pace of their attack. So I've gone with Moore and Lloris in the middle, and that seems quite sensible, I think. I'd also go with Kelly, Renemota and Swift in the midfield. I mean, that, it doesn't fill me with that much confidence, really, but I mean, it's maybe a little bit lightweight, but I think, you know, there aren't, you know, as I said, there aren't many other options in there. I mean, you could potentially bring in someone like David Mildenblack in, but you know, I think, you know, should his first game of senior football in 4 months be against Man United, which would be a little bit worrying, but, you know, or you can have, you know, two of those three, and someone like Sonny Aluko or Danny Loader, both of whom have played the number 10 role in recent weeks, but I think I'd probably go more conservative with someone like John Swift, considering the opposition. And then for the front three, I would have McCleary again, just for the experience. He's captained the side the last couple of games. You mean, you'd imagine if Moore comes back in, he'll take back the armband, but McCleary again for that experience. John Daly Bovarsson as well, I'd agree with you. I mean, he probably deserves to be back in from the start. Matez has had a difficult couple of games. And then finally, I'd go with Callum Harriott to get his first start in over 2 years. Obviously, fantastic to see him come off the bench and score against Swansea. You know, even though the game was long over by then, I was delighted to see Harriott score after the terrible couple of years he's had injury-wise. And his contract is up in the summer, Tom. Do you think he does have a future at his club, Callum Harriott? You know, as for Saturday, do you think Gomez might perhaps ease him back in after his injury and maybe not risk him from the start?
I think a week ago he would have been one of them on that list of players you'd say would definitely be leaving this month, probably. Yeah. He's obviously not, he's been fit for a while and not been included, but he's done exactly what you need to do, come off the bench and make an impact and get a goal, and suddenly I think the manager won't want to get rid of the only person who scored since he's been in. I don't think that'll be high on his radar, so I'm sure Harriott
will be. He's done more in one game than Sonny Aluko has done in about 6 months.
So. Yeah, in terms of goals, yeah, I think Aluko played okay at QPR, to be fair to him, but yeah, against Swansea he wasn't great. But yeah, Harriott came on and got the goal, and I'm sure he'll be involved again. I just worry slightly about starting him too soon, given how long he's been out for. But he's got to start at some point, I suppose. Whether that comes on Saturday, I'm sure he'll play at least sort of half an hour of the game, I'd imagine. She showed what he can do the other afternoon. So, yeah, I'm sure he'll be involved. Wouldn't mind him starting. He's so hungry to get back on the pitch, and he's one of those players in the squad who hasn't really been scarred by what's happened, I suppose, in the last couple of years. Well, last time he was in the team, they were flying high in the league, so he hasn't lost too many games like the rest of them have, and I'm sure he's just so desperate to get back out there. So yeah, I'm sure he'll be in the side. I think I stuck with Mate. Like I say, he's struggled as well, like you say, up front in the last few games. Maybe a spell back out on the wing could do him good, along with someone else like Bodvarsson doing more of the running for him, possibly. But yeah, he's struggled a bit for form. Then you've got Barrow as well. Just I think maybe his pace on the counter is the only sort of way they can try and trouble Man United. But yeah, I think all those guys will be involved at some point. Exactly who starts, we'll have to see. Loader as well. He's been a bit in and out of form as well. He obviously set up the goal, I think, against Swansea, didn't he? But aside from that, has struggled a little bit form wise since he's broken into the team. But yeah, there's plenty of options certainly going forwards. But yeah, for me, I'd go with Barrow, Mate and Bovarsson, I think, as a front sort of three.
I think alone might do Danny Loader a little bit, because he's still only 18 or 19, so potentially alone move for him. Speaking of loans as well, of course, Josh Sims is another option out wide. Whether he might go back to Southampton this month or not remains to be seen. But we'll speak about the goalkeepers as well briefly. We've both gone with Vitor Minone, as mentioned, you know, who wasn't even in the squad against Swansea to replace Anssi Jäkälä. I think, for me, as you touched upon, Tom, Jäkälä is Reading's best shot stopper. I mean, he makes a number of good saves per game. I think he's got the highest ratio of saves per game out of any keeper in the Championship. So, but his distribution really is lacking. I think, obviously, in this system where he's being asked to play out from the back, it just isn't working. He's putting the defence under pressure straight away. I think you could tell that the crowd were getting on his back on Tuesday as well when he was trying to play out from the back. He's obviously been told that by Jose Gomez, but it just isn't one of his strengths. I think, obviously, Sam Walker was on the bench. He's available as well. I mean, you would think that at least one of those three goalkeepers will leave this month. But, you know, there's also been a rumour about Joel Pereira coming in on loan from Man United as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't be massively surprised if they brought a keeper in, but I think they would have to then move two of those guys on before they could do that. And how realistic that is, I'm not too sure, but I think obviously if Gomez is here longer term, he'll want someone who's more comfortable with the ball at the feet in goal. And I think of the three, from what I've seen, I would say Minone probably is most comfortable out of those those three Yokolia's distribution. It's sometimes it's okay when he's got a bit of time to just pass it out straight out of the pitch, but he seems to clear out for throwing so often. It's so frustrating just to give the ball straight away again. But yeah, like I say, he has been a great shot stopper, and I'm not entirely sure what the deal was with Manone on against Swansea, because he's been in the squad every other game. I'm not sure he was even there the other day, because obviously all three keepers used to warm up, and he wasn't even in part of that. So I'm not sure if that's either something new from the new boss, or he just wasn't involved for the game for one reason or another. But yeah, I think unless they are trying to sell Manone, I'd like to see him back in the team, give him a game, and see if he can sort of do a bit better than Yokoda's been doing in terms of distribution. So I think, yeah, I'm not sure Gomez will be entirely confident in having Yokoda in goal longer term if you go forward for the next few weeks. But I think one of those three may well end up leaving the club this month, regardless. And that, I suppose you'd probably say Walker is the most likely, unless Manone was left out of the squad for that exact reason against Swansea.
As for a prediction then, this doesn't count towards the official prediction league signing, so you can breathe easy for a week, Tom. But just for fun, how do you see Saturday ending up?
I think I got both the cup games spot on, actually, which is pretty typical. But I'm going to go for another 4-1 defeat. I think Reading may well grab a goal, but I think Man United would just be too strong in the end.
I think that's a fair point. I think they've only kept two clean sheets in the league so far this season, so the defence might be an issue. But I really can't see this being anything other than a thrashing for United. Of course, I'd love to be proven wrong and be incredible if we could get our first ever win at Old Trafford under Jose Gomez. But I am going to say 5-0 to Man United, right of the pressing, which is probably the biggest prediction I've ever given. But I think, you know, for me, you know, whilst the players probably sort of know that they perhaps won't win this game anyway, will that have an effect on confidence, you know, because we've seen how weak mentally they are. I mean, or sort of, will it be forgotten about the next day, and the focus will be shifted immediately onto Nottingham Forest the following weekend?
I think going into the game, I think they'll be fully mentally prepared for a game at Old Trafford. I don't think, no matter how well or badly you're doing, I think you're always up for a game like that, a one-off game in a cup, where if you lose it, you can just essentially park it to one side. It's not going to affect what's happened to the rest of your season. So I think they'll be well up for it from the start of the game. It's just, If they do get heavily beaten again, then it's bound to have an impact. If you lose two games heavily back to back, then I'm sure it will have an effect. But I think they can try and separate it as a one off, really, given they've got a whole week then until Nottingham Forest, and everyone will know how big that's going to be at home. I think this can be parked to one side a little bit. Obviously, if they can go there and get a replay or win it, or just put in a decent performance, I think that will obviously be a massive
replay would be amazing.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's get a massive confidence booster if they can even make a good showing of themselves. So the potential's there for that. But yeah, I think if they do lose it, I don't think they'll lose too much sleep over it, really.
Okay. Well, the Tyler's focus won't shift from that game straight away, as Mark will be back either on Sunday or Monday with the main show to review the game at Old Trafford. But then it will be all eyes on that Forest game, especially on the weekend preview this time next week. In the meantime, there's plenty of content over on thetardisden.com, including a bit of preview to the January transfer window. Our December Player of the Month vote, Yakalar, Yeardom and Rinomota all up for that. And we've also got the results of the polls we ran on Wednesday, asking you which Reading players you would keep, sell or loan this month. A couple of interesting results in amongst those, so go and check that one out. We will, of course, have full coverage of the trip to Old Trafford as well. On a similar note, Tom, what can we look forward to on the Working Paper in the next week or so?
Yeah, well, I'm heading up to Old Trafford, so it'll be up on workingpaper.com, and I'll be covering that on Twitter as well, Tom J. Crocker. So that's, let's say, the main focus of the week, and then it'll be onto the Forest game the following sort of Thursday press conference, I imagine. So yeah, it's all eyes on Old Trafford for now.
Make sure you go and check all of that out then. Thank you very much then, Tom, for joining me on the Tyler's Den weekend preview this week.
Pleasure. Thanks, Ollie.
No worries at all. And thank you at home for listening to this week's show. Have a safe journey up to Manchester. If you are travelling to Old Trafford this weekend, let's just hope the scoreline doesn't get into double figures. Come on, you ass.
The Tyler's Den podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.